Closer. Insane music video. Really, for a 7-year old, kind of disturbing visuals.
Yeah, that was Ariel's by System of a Down for me as a kid. That was definitely that was that impact too when I was younger.
But I think when I loved music videos, I think initially for initially mostly for choreography, because I liked to dance along to them, especially for Britney Spears. Shout out Britney Spears. But beyond that, also the fact that you could blend storytelling with choreography, or you could just stop the music video at any time and have a period of just interacting, like Britney Spears, Till the World Ends. And then there's a part where she's just at a press conference and she says, bleep you, bleep you, bleep, you're cool, I'm out, right? And that's an iconic thing, and it's from a iconic music video, and the world is falling apart around her. I think the narrative aspect of music videos alongside choreography, and obviously being backed by a track, an awesome track, it just boggles my mind of the level of choreography that goes beyond just dance. I just love music videos, and I've always wanted to make my own. I've always, like, sometimes I listen to music and I just can imagine the
the music video, and especially if there is already a music video that's made and it's so mid, then especially you want to be like, I want to do an artist a justice and make it exactly how I think
exactly
this should look like.
Yeah I also really liked like politically motivated music videos as well, so like Kendrick Lamar's All Right.
Yeah.
Or
DNA as well.
DNA as well.
That was great.
And then even like Michael Jackson's They Don't Really Care About Us.
Oh my God, that was beautiful. Yeah, and that was a wonderful video.
If I remember correctly, he wasn't allowed to like record it in the United States, or like a lot of the people that he was trying to record the music video with in the US, because he wanted to make it political, didn't want to do it with him.
Yeah.
So he went down to Brazil to support... You say something about music videos. I'm going to look this up so I don't.
No, I'm pretty sure he was in something. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he was in something like a favela where he was just outside with the people.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had everybody singing and stuff like that too. So I absolutely agree. I think that the creative directive that music videos once had were just superb. A lot of thought came into it. And for them to be so memorable, it's really something to make a really good music video, separated from something that's just kind of put together really quickly, almost like a visualizer just for whatever you're listening to. It makes all the difference in the world. I would basically, especially if there was a song that I really liked and I knew that, okay, first thing that comes out is the audio file, so you can see the album cover and that's about it. Then you maybe get a music audio visualizer, and then you're always hoping for that music video to drop, especially post-release after some time. It's absolutely great. I love it, love it, love it. And I wish that people really took interest in making just something really, really cool and creative. There was a guy that had collaborated with most of the newer rap artists. I think it was Cole... I forgot his last name. It was called... He runs his own production company now. He made the Lemonade with, like... I think it was with Nav. And it was Nav. Maybe had Gunna in it as well. That was a... Cole Bennett. Cole Bennett is that guy's name. Yeah. He makes a lot of cool stuff. Yeah, Cole Bennett makes really cool stuff.
Lyrical Lemonade, yeah.
And especially as of recently, he's been pushing more of those creative boundaries. Mm-hmm. Before it was kind of, you know, bubbly and just kind of cool and quirky. But now he's just going more cinematic with some of his newer releases. I think there was a Lil Yachty song that he did where they're all dressed up in like black suits. Doomsday, there you go.
Doomsday with Corday and Juice WRLD was... That was a good music video.
They all have like this recurring theme of wearing black suits, mm-hmm. and they had a yellow super bright tie going on, and there was this like blow up castle that they'll go inside, but it's actually rooms. So they got their own song that's going on, and they're rapping about whatever, but then they're part of this much bigger narrative that's just done by his vision, which I think is really, really cool.
Yeah, I love music videos.
Same.
I love.
In case the listeners couldn't tell,
in case they couldn't tell,
need to reiterate that.
Shout out to Cole Bennett as well. I really like the. I like. I remember having an argument with some, I forget if they were a communications major or something along the lines that they had just been doing a paper on short form media, and they were arguing that, you know, short form media in like TikTok and like 15 to 1 minute long videos, like just because there's a lot of jump cuts doesn't mean it's high effort editing and high effort production. And then they tried to argue that music videos fall into the same category, and that just made me mad.
No, I definitely see it, especially with, you know, short form content. Sometimes it's one of those things where it's like, okay, we have your attention for maybe 10, 15 seconds. Let's try and cram as much content as we can. So how are you expecting to have any sort of memorable experiences with most of these videos that you look at, right? Compared to, you know, 3 or 4, sometimes 5 and 6 minute videos that are carefully crafted and have their own narrative going on. And their storytelling is just incredible. So I definitely see how a lot of great music videos and, you know, any sort of songs that come out that might have a music video might be undercut because of the fact that you only see 15 or 30 seconds of it. Yeah. But hey, if Vine made it happen like 7 or 8 seconds, then these guys know what to do.
That's true. Do you ever find music from TikTok? Do you use TikTok?
I don't.
Me neither. Yeah. Me neither. I've never installed it.
Yeah. No, I've never installed it either. I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't need another time pit, honestly.
That's so true. Do you remember a few years ago when there was that website, I guess it was kind of like a bot, it was like called Pudding GG or something, and you were supposed to log into your Spotify through it, and then it would generate judgment on your Spotify playlists and your music and stuff?
I know they do a lot of those trends where it's like, I think there was a track list receipt at some point where you could log in and punch in your Spotify and it'll give you like the top 10 before Spotify did the top 2025 or top 2024 music. So they kind of had like receipts what you're listening to and what your amount of listens that you've done for it.
Yeah.
So I think that there are all these different AI tools, but it's kind of cool because I feel like it's corny as hell, but at the same time, it just makes it kind of nice to be part of that ecosystem where you can just flex on your poor taste in music if it's bad. So
I just pulled up the project. It's a project by The Pudding, and the website is pudding.cool/2021/10/judge-my-music, and it's a quote, sophisticated AI that judges your awful taste in music. And I remember it was all the thing, everyone posting it to their Instagram stories, and it just is rude to you. And I remember that it told me that like my rap playlist was inspired by TikTok hits, which it was not, but
don't even have TikTok. How would it know?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I was too trending.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not trying to go on a political battle against the AI to determine whether I can justify my listening taste. Forget about it.
Do you have any particular feelings about Spotify's use of AI-generated playlists?
I think that one of the biggest problems that I've seen recently is just like AI-generated music. Sometimes because I've been a little bit exposed to Spotify for Artists because I wanted to make music for myself sometime. So I knew that there were certain songs that haven't come out yet that were basically just hijacked on Spotify for Artists website because AI got to it quicker. And there was a lot of sort of misinterpretation in what music they were actually dropping because it would just be fluff, right? So I think that, you know, they're still working on the DJ. The DJ, I don't really use him that much. And I would much rather just put my liked music on shuffle and call it a day. I do love the smart shuffle.
I do like smart shuffle.
I love that a lot. I love how you can basically traverse any sort of genres and subgenres and how it can offer you potentially different sorts of songs that are relatively similar to what you're listening to. And this is something that I have to address. I believe one of the best websites for Spotify that has ever dropped was this site called everynoise.org or everynoise.com. It was genuinely one of the coolest tools ever made. It shows you each and every single genre and subgenre of music scanned from the Spotify database. and it was just this beautiful tool. It will show you bands and song examples per each genre, what the genre's completely opposite end of the sound would be like, what it sounds like. It had samples and all this stuff, so...
That was me accidentally clicking on something. There was... Everynoise.com.
Yeah, Everynoise.com. It was a wonderful, wonderful project. Unfortunately, the guy that was running it got laid off from Spotify, so he lost his access to all the API in the database. So that list is no longer updated as of, I believe, 2023 or 2024. Rest in peace, Everynoise.com. It was absolutely a treat to have you around, and you will be dearly missed.
Rest in peace.
That's right.
Let's play up some more music. So next we're going to play Jetstream Heart by Temples,
which I was yapping about before it even came on. You can tell how excited I am about this song. So
we were listening to it before and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And then I want to throw some Canadian music in there as well. So there's going to be Slather on the Honey by Clothesline from Hell and Die to Heaven by 5440. Really hope you guys enjoy it. Caro's been pulling up with the amazing music. So everyone say thank you, Caro.
It's really not that big of a deal at all. This is not even the 5% of the iceberg. So hopefully I get invited back, and we're going to need to have like a whole ass series about just the music that I'm going to bring in, because I have tons of it.
Definitely. Okay. So please enjoy Jetstream Heart and stay tuned.
Thank you. Let it go, start living. Hey, oh. annual Sled Island Music and Arts Festival is back June 17th to 21st, presented by Service Credit Union. Experience 5 days of music, comedy, art, and much more in diverse venues across Calgary, Alberta. Joining Sled Island's previously announced guest curator, Clipping, is English Chamber Folk Ensemble, Black Country New Road, revered Canadian pop project Homeshake, renowned abstract rapper Billy Woods, LA synth punk's Sextile, fuzzy indie rock outfit Feeble Little Horse, outlandish egg punk group Snooper, lo-fi post-punk duo Sweeping Promises, New York City-based ambient pioneer Laraji, genre-bending dream pop artist Salami Rose Joe Lewis, and many more. Plus, there are over 150 more artists still to be announced. Check out the current lineup and get your passes and tickets at sledisland.com.
Welcome back to CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Liz.
My name is Carole.
Happy to have you guys back. We've got a few minutes left in the show, and we want to keep chatting. But yeah, the music that you just heard, the in reverse order, the one that you just heard was Die to Heaven by 5440, VanCon and CanCon. We love Vancouver artists. Shout out 5440. Before that, you heard Slather on the Honey by Clothesline from Hell. And before that was an amazing choice called Jetstream Heart by Temples. I wanted to ask you, so getting music from TikTok,
right?
Not a thing for us.
No.
Other than, well, not necessarily other than, how do you get music?
Definitely most of the time I am absolutely religious to my Discover Weekly. I try not to miss any week. Obviously not always. I'm going to be adding a lot of songs from it. Some are hit or misses. A lot of the times it's Discover Weekly. A lot of the times it's my friends playing music. That's probably one of the most common ways for me to listen to something new on like a daily basis. I definitely like a lot of music that's also featured sometimes in some like video games or movies. I'm a giant instrumental guy when it comes down to making movies and stuff like that too. Hans Zimmer is my goat, needless to say, what he made. But
the Interstellar theme makes me cry.
Exactly. And there's been so many different ones since then. Fun fact, Hans Zimmer was the one that made The Lion King soundtrack. It was his first. It was pretty cool. I didn't
That's
know
amazing.
That until I saw him live in Vancouver a few years ago. But
I think I was at that too.
No way.
Yeah, and he did like the, it wasn't the actual pieces. He did like further interpretations of them.
I think that he just kind of went down the path of just going each movie by movie with what the songs were. He also did a big PSA for Ukraine at the time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, probably one of the best concerts I've been to.
Yeah.
It's just truly wonderful. But yeah, movies, video games, sometimes random YouTube algorithm videos.
Yeah.
Just stranger stuff. Yeah, many different avenues.
That's funny that you mentioned that, because I was going to say I get quite a bit of music from Spotify. I also get music from tuning into CJSF 90.1 FM, which you should also do, by the way, listener. Thank you for tuning into 90.1 FM.
There you go.
But I actually also just realized I do listen to music from YouTube, but I don't listen to specific artists. I watch like videos that are an hour or 2 hours long, and they are I think there's one called like Lay Fish or whatever, and then there's another one which is 1972 and you're staying late at the office - office core vaporwave or something like that.
Absolutely. I was gonna just add to that, I am so lucky to have grown up in this early 2000s era where YouTube was very much just starting out and we didn't have anything else that was prior to that other than CDs, burning them.
True.
Making your own mixtapes. I am so lucky to have been part of both, and from that transition period from burning CDs and making your favorite mixtapes and having your friends and family battle over them because they want to listen to them in the car, switching over to those, you know, 2-3 hours, sometimes more, YouTube mixes. I, to this day, can remember very vividly from my memory, best EDM songs 2013, UKF dubstep mixes. I have this wonderful mixtape that's just basically this vaporwave and this dark wave and synthwave mix from 80s, and I think it's like Horrors from the 80s, and they have many different volumes for them as well. I absolutely love that stuff, and I basically ended up ripping the entire playlist from YouTube just to have it on Spotify so I can listen to it whenever. Too bad that some of these songs are not officially available, but you gotta do what you gotta do.
That, do you ever watch Boiler Room sets?
Oh my goodness, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've seen Boiler Room sets, I've seen Elevator Music, because my wonderful boy Zach Fox transitioned to a DJ now. He used to be this comedian with a new Vice show, and then they fired him, so then he decided to be a DJ and said screw it. I love it, and his mixes are so good. Same with Kate Tronada. Kate,
yes.
Tronada had an Elevator Music,
shout out Kate Tronada,
absolutely good video. The energy is so funny, and the way that they have it set up, I'm pretty sure for Elevator Music specifically, the room looks like an elevator room that you walk into, but I believe that is connected to a club because there's random people that come in and come out as the song goes, and you can actually see some security altercations in there too because some people are not meant to be there at the time, which I thought was pretty funny. But it's amazing. I think someone even brought their kid, like a child, inside of the elevator room when Kitchen was turning up. So, like, he's holding the baby and mixing at the same time.
An actual infant.
It's amazing. I love it.
Oh, my gosh. So, thank you for coming on the show. Did you have fun?
Thank you so much. I love to be here. It feels like I belong here the second I stepped my foot in through the door.
Well, then you got to come back.
Absolutely.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. This was Liz with my lovely guest,
Carol.
He's going to come back, I'm sure. This was CJSF 90.1 FM, and I hope you guys tune in next week. Thank you. Love you guys. Bye.
See ya.
You're listening.